This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Today we talk teeth, those little rows of enamel, dentine, and pulp and nerves living in our mouths. We all have 32 of them, give or take, and they are what makes it possible for us to eat solid foods. But teeth are not to be taken for granted. No, sir. If there's a problem with them, they will let us know. And so will people like our guest. Joel Davis is a dentist in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and is here to help us protect and nurture our teeth so that they will last as long as we do. Dr. Davis, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
First question, what is the number one thing most of us are doing wrong when it comes to caring for our teeth?
That's a great question. I would say it would be snacking. What we found is that it doesn't matter if you eat healthy foods or foods that may not be so good for your body. Pretty much, regardless of what you eat, it's creating an acidic environment in your mouth that is potentially promoting tooth decay.
Now, the next question, of course, jumps into everyone's mind is toothpaste. Does it matter what kind of toothpaste I use? Should I use the one with fluoride in it? Should I use the one with herbs in it? What should I do with toothpaste?
There are some toothpaste that can help with sensitivity, and there are toothpaste with fluoride in there, and I do believe some topical fluoride overall is going to help strengthen the structure of the tooth when used minimally. But in general, it's really more technique, and actually it's the toothpaste you use that's the most important. The toothpaste and the toothbrush to daily effectively remove plaque off of your teeth.
Okay, let's talk technique here. Electric toothbrush, manual toothbrush, elbow toothbrush. What is the technique that we are doing? And apparently, if everybody goes and sees you in droves, as we seem to be doing in this country, we are not brushing our teeth right. Am I right?
What you need to do is when you brush your teeth and you do your home hygiene, that should include flossing, you want to be able to at least daily do that in front of a well-lit mirror where it's not just going through the motions of brushing, but you're actually looking at your teeth, looking along the gum line to see if there's any plaque that's been accumulating. So even after you brush your teeth, pull your lip down, look at your teeth specifically right along the gum line to see if you're leaving a thin line or layer of that white sticky material that we call plaque. And so the best brush that I like that's out there is called the Nimbus toothbrush, and you can get that from nimbusdental.com. But it's got a lot of longer bristles and shorter bristles that are very feathery soft, and you can really work those bristles right at the gum line in between the tooth and the gums to get those bristles down into that pocket that's around each of those teeth to really effectively remove the plaque.
Now, you're saying they're soft. Is that important? Is it possible for us to do damage if we have too hard of a bristle on our toothbrush?
It is. I see it all the time. Somebody that uses even a medium brush, I don't know how readily available a hard toothbrush is, but there are medium and hard toothbrushes out there. And if you're not using a soft toothbrush, most likely you're going to either cause recession of the gums or you're going to cause tooth abrasion where you actually can wear a groove into the tooth. And you'll see that right along the gum line where you start to get this V-shaped notch. It takes years to do, but I do see it all the time.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Joel Davis. He's a dentist in Chattanooga, and we're talking tooth and mouth care here today. You mentioned snacking. Does it matter what we eat? You mentioned that it doesn't matter what we eat as far as snacking is concerned. When it comes to dental health, they're all going to create an acidic environment in the mouth. Are there foods that we should avoid, and are there foods that we should add to our diets to help us keep our teeth healthy?
Yeah. Well, there are foods that are helpful. The first type of food that which will help to mechanically remove plaque, you know, something like celery would be a good example. It doesn't have a lot of sugars. It doesn't have a lot of stickiness to it. It's going to help actually mechanically remove plaque, and it's But in general, foods that are not carbohydrates or sticky will be beneficial. Mm-hmm. Really, any type of food that would decrease the levels of Streptococcus mutans or Lactobacillus, which are the identified bacteria that cause tooth decay, would be helpful. For example, arginine is one of the most potent anti-cariogenic amino acids, and it's found in spinach, soy, nuts, seeds, and some seafood. So, yes, there are some foods, but in general, we try to keep our food during 2 to 3 meal times a day.
Now, you mentioned that bacteria causes tooth decay. I thought sugar causes tooth decay. Make the connection there for us.
Yeah. Well, actually, sugars are indirectly contributing, but they're really feeding bacteria. Mm. So everybody has bacteria in their mouth, many strains of bacteria. But the Streptococcus mutans and the Lactobacillus have been identified in causing tooth decay. They are the causative agents. And so if we're able to reduce those bacteria, not feed them, and cause them to proliferate, then we're able to decrease the bacteria that causes tooth decay.
So sugar is feeding what is damaging us then, right?
It does.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we talked about what we eat, and you mentioned some foods that were good and foods that were maybe not so good. What about drinking? We drink pops and sodas, we drink milk, we drink water, we drink tea. Anything here that we need to watch out for?
You know, it's a great question, and I personally haven't done a lot of consideration or study into the waters that have been, their acidity been modified to be more basic. But once again, in general, if we're drinking things that cause the mouth to be more acidic, then we're going to promote those bacteria that can cause the tooth decay. Sodas are both acidic in nature because of the carbonation and also the sugars that are in there. So, you know, if you're going to drink coffee, you know, try to leave the cream and sugar out. And same thing as sodas. If you can drink the diet, that's still going to be better, but it's still going to be acidic. So, in general, water is the best. It's going to help cleanse the mouth and remove some of the food debris that might be in there. And it's just going to be the best for the body and the mouth.
Okay, very good. Stress is dangerous to health. This is well known. Stress kills health. Does stress affect teeth in any way? And if so, how?
That's an interesting thought. I would say the most obvious way to me that stress is going to affect teeth is that stress is the biggest reason that people might grind and clench their teeth. We call this bruxism. So if somebody is a bruxer, then they're grinding and clenching their teeth. It may be during the day, but most likely it's during the night while they sleep. They may or may not be aware of it. But that grinding and clenching causes a lot of stress on teeth. It causes them to wear down, but it also causes temporomandibular joint disorder, TMJ. And so it just puts a lot of stresses both on the joint, on the teeth. It can cause teeth to wear down, to fracture, to break. So that is probably the biggest link to stress in one's life.
I want to ask you a personal question here. Why dentistry and why Joel Davis? Why did you choose that particular element of science to dedicate your life to?
Well, I am a son of a physician, and so I was exposed to medicine as far as the stories my dad told when he came home. And there was an attraction to medicine, but at the same time, he had his complaints about it as well. So I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And I was actually on track for optometry when I was in college and ended up just changing directions. I didn't see enough of variety when I did my shadowing of optometry, and so I considered dentistry. But I am the first in my family. I don't have any relatives that I know of that are dentists. But I don't know. I like the variety. You think, well, it's just teeth. It's just the mouth. But it's incredible. We have many, many specialties and lifetimes of learning just on how to treat and diagnose and fix things within the mouth, the gums, the teeth. And so it's a variety. I enjoy working with people and seeing the smile on their face, literally, when we're able to fix what might be, you know, a broken down smile or somebody who doesn't have confidence because of either crooked teeth or broken teeth or stained teeth. So there's a lot of personal satisfaction just seeing the change in one's life, the confidence that they gain when we're able to fix their smile.
So is there hope for an older person, maybe a senior citizen or someone middle-aged, if they have crooked teeth, you can do things there? We talk about fixing the teeth of children and teenagers, putting braces and whatnot, but you can do things for older people too?
Oh, absolutely. That's the incredible thing about teeth is that it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're 85. They typically respond the same way. You can either do bleaching. It doesn't matter what age. It's not going to hurt the teeth. You can straighten teeth. These teeth are in the bone, and they're connected to the bone with a ligament called the PDL, the periodontal ligament. And we can use braces, and we can make teeth straight at any age. And we can do bleaching or cosmetic work at any age and help somebody gain that confidence that they've always wanted.
We're talking with Dr. Joel Davis. He is the, I guess he's the driving force of the Davis Family Dental Care down in Chattanooga on Shallowford Road. If you happen to be in the area, check it out. That's Dr. Joel Davis. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the dangers that we have in our mouths. Some of the older filling, some of the dental work that was done decades ago is coming back to haunt a lot of us, and we'd like to know what we can do about that. And so we'll talk to Dr. Davis on those subjects on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and here's your biblical prescription for life. Have you ever longed for a different prescription, one without dangerous side effects? Everyone is concerned, or should be concerned, about side effects or adverse reactions when taking a medication. Well, today I want to explain to you what a biblical prescription is. Let's turn to James 1:5. This is our biblical prescription for today. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Well, a biblical prescription is all about asking God for wisdom. Wisdom from the scriptures to prevent and treat disease. The Bible applies to all aspects of life. In our biblical prescription for life segments, I will point out scripture, show the evidence-based science behind the scripture, and how this scripture chemically changes us. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "The very first deception we face in this world today is the thought that modern medicine can fix anything. To be brutally honest, modern medicine can't fix a thing. The doctor can set a leg, but as for the healing of that broken bone, the doctor can only watch and be amazed." Here's the scary part. People who experience heart disease, who suffer from cancer, who fight debilitating pains, who stand in lines at drugstores waiting to fill their endless prescriptions, who sit and watch television commercials extolling the power of the latest and greatest pharmaceutical, firmly believe that their doctors or the pills are providing a cure to their ills. They think they're getting fixed. They're wrong. Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Joel Davis. He is a dentist in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're talking about teeth care, and that really is, Dr. Davis, mouth care, because you mentioned that our mouth, our gums, our teeth, they're all interconnected. So when you look into that yawning hole in the face of someone, you're seeing more than teeth, am I right?
Oh, sure. Whenever I do an exam, for example, I'm not just looking at teeth, but I'm looking at the health of the gums. I'm also looking and doing an oral cancer screening. Every time I do an exam, I'm looking at the tissues. I'm looking at the tongue, looking at the back of the throat, looking for anything that might be abnormal there that we might need to address. But yeah, there's a lot that goes on in the mouth.
Is there anything that we could see or a red flag that we would recognize in the mirror if we looked into our own mouths?
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody that's looking at something on a daily basis is going to be most likely the first one to notice something that might be different. So, for example, you know, if somebody comes to me and they say they've got a spot on their tongue that they're worried about, Well, the first thing I ask them is, how long has it been there? Or how long have you noticed it? And they say, I just noticed it yesterday for the first time. Then I'm going to tell them, well, let's keep an eye on that. Let's see if it looks any different 2 weeks from now. Typically, it's something that might have been just a little sore that will go away. But if there's something that is a change in the appearance of the tissues that hangs around for weeks to months at a time, then that might be something that we might want to take a little a tissue sample, a little biopsy, and have it checked out to see if there's anything that we need to be concerned about there.
Now, let's talk about fillings. We've heard about mercury and the problems that some of the chemicals and some of the metals that were put in our mouth. What do we need to know about that?
This is an interesting topic. It really is. Amalgam has been around for over 150 years, and it's a combination of metal powder, mostly silver with some copper and tin, and then liquid mercury that kind of binds everything together. However, mercury as an element is known to be toxic, but what makes any material toxic to humans is the dose. So studies have shown that a very minuscule amount of mercury can escape from amalgam fillings over time, but the question becomes, is the amount of mercury emanating from the amalgam fillings in a high enough dose to be a concern? Mm. So far, there's not a single credible peer-reviewed study that links silver amalgam fillings to medical issues. It is controversial in the sense that some people have claimed to feel better when they have their silver fillings removed. But all that being said, our government agencies do seem to be at odds. I find this interesting. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has said that amalgam fillings are safe. On the other hand, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has said that silver mercury amalgam scraps from dental offices is toxic waste and cannot be put into the trash or sewer.
Wow.
So which is it? Who do we believe? Yeah. The FDA says it's safe to put in the mouth, but the EPA says it's toxic waste and shouldn't end up in landfills or water supplies. So my approach, what I've done, is to look at the benefits of a tooth-colored filling over the silver fillings. They are more technical to place, but the biggest advantage of the tooth-colored fillings is that it reinforces the tooth. It is a bonded material. It will bond to the tooth and strengthen, whereas the silver fillings, it's held into place with a mechanical fit. And so over time, the biggest disadvantage I've seen of the silver fillings is that the tooth will, I'll actually see these kind of fracture lines extending out from the fillings. Mm. So my bottom line is I tell patients, don't get them removed just because you have them. I personally prefer the tooth-colored fillings as far as placing them, but I don't tell patients to get them removed just because they have them. If we start to see them breaking down, or we start to see decay around them or fractures in the teeth, it's time to probably replace them, and I'll do that with the tooth-colored bonded fillings.
All right. So. Dr. Davis, aging. You probably aren't worrying about that, but a lot of us are as we move up in years and sort of head in toward that beautiful sunset that they call the sunset years. Are there particular problems that we as an aging individual need to watch out for and address as we go through those years?
Well, it's funny you say that. I am a young, only 30, almost 32 years old here, and I know that makes me young, but at the same time, I'm recognizing every day that just like every other individual, we need that daily exercise, we need that daily stretching, and we need to have a balanced lifestyle. You know, and so those same things apply to our teeth. And I think regular, good oral home hygiene is extremely important. And then just seeing a dentist really twice a year is best, because if we can catch a problem while it's small and early, then it's typically a small, easy fix. But if we go multiple years at a time without seeing a dental professional, then it's more likely that we're going to be, you know, it's a more complicated fix. If a tooth is broken or the pain is severe, then it's more difficult to fix.
Absolutely. What about children's teeth? Are there any particular challenges here? You mentioned snacking, and children like to snack, and these are teeth that are in the development stage. What can we do to make sure that our kids' teeth develop as strong and as lasting as possible?
Well, yes, they do tend to snack, and I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at home, so I understand the challenges that comes with trying to get them to eat a healthy, well-balanced meal and try to minimize snacking, and I think that's the key there, is that they're going to need a snack. They're going to need that extra food every now and then because they are growing and they haven't developed the discipline to eat a meal every single time. But you know, minimizing snacking. And I think the biggest thing is keeping them drinking water in between meals and not always drinking the juices and the milks, because that does have the sugar in there. That's going to really do the most damage. So do not put them to bed either for a nap time or when they're going to bed for night with a bottle with juice or milk in it. That's probably the worst thing. We see that baby bottle decay, we call it. And then just really helping them develop, even if from a young age, the habits of brushing. You know, you have to brush their teeth for them. My four-year-old, we still help her brush her teeth. She brushes them, and then we'll brush and we'll go in after, and we'll brush after her. Yeah. And there are some fun things. There's something called, I just recently discovered, called Basic Bites. You can go to basicbites.com and order these. They're little chocolates. They taste kind of like a Tootsie Roll. They're kind of waxy, but they've been developed by a dental school. They actually promote that basic environment in the mouth and help to neutralize the acids, and it tastes kind of like chocolate. It's pretty amazing. And so maybe one of those as a treat every now and then, it's actually going to be good for their teeth.
When you see a patient come in and that patient is having some problems with his or her teeth and wants to know the answer, are you seeing any trends that are taking place now that wasn't there, you know, 10, 15 years ago when you got into this thing, when you first started out and first studying? Are you seeing things that we need to be aware of as we move into the latter part of the years?
Well, as far as trends, I would say that there are advances within dentistry itself as far as the way we can treat and the way we can fix teeth. But, you know, teeth are still made up of the same materials and habits are basically the same. And it really comes down to, I think, education. People are becoming more educated. Mm-hmm. And with that education and knowledge of how to take care of teeth and coming to see the dentist regularly instead of waiting till it hurts is really allowing people to keep their teeth throughout their entire life. I have many patients that say, you know, when I was a child or a teenager or in my early 20s, we never came to the dentist unless a tooth hurt. Uh-huh. And now they're recognizing the advantage of coming regularly so we can do things and catch things while they're small. And really, that's our goal as a dental professional, is to maintain tooth structure, to keep your teeth in your head and keep you out of pain for your entire life.
Sounds like you're saying that today's a pretty good day to be a tooth.
It is. It is. It's a good day to be a tooth.
All right. Very good. Our guest today is Dr. Joel Davis. Dr. Davis, is there a website that people can go to learn more about you or learn more about tooth health that you can recommend to us?
Sure. I've got a website that's in development. It's getting better and better, and I've got some great information on there, and it's joeldavisdentistry.com, J-O-E-L-D-A-V-I-S, dentistry.com. And then as far as really educational material, one of my favorite websites has got a lot of comprehensive information on there is mouthhealthy.org. And that's administered and organized by the ADA, the American Dental Association, mouthhealthy.org.
All right. Lots of good information there and lots of good resources available. Dr. Joel Davis from Chattanooga, Tennessee, dentist, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your words of wisdom. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Joel Davis, inviting you to smile a healthy smile and remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.